My name's Jono Bacon, and I donate to free software.
My name's Stuart Langridge, and I donate to free software.
And this is...
Shot of Jack!
In the open source world, we're more than familiar with the concept of companies sponsoring the development of software that is free. Canonical with Ubuntu, Red Hat with Fedora, and Mozilla with Firefox, to name a few. The theory makes sense. Produce a free software product and build services around it. And this is arguably why such a significant chunk of software is produced by companies. But is there another way? A while back, I interviewed Paul Davis, founder of the open source multi-tracker project Ardour, on Floss Weekly. Paul has committed his career to working on Ardour, a worthy and admirable job, but he struggles along on donations made from thoughtful users. Many projects have tried the same, but they often typically just net enough money to pay for a curry for the core devs, or buy a few promotional t-shirts. Donations is one approach, but are there other ways in which projects could earn enough money to pay for people to work on them full time? Can the Shot of Jack community uncover some suggestions, create some ideas, or even build some solutions?
This is, you would think, the number one question for people who've listened to one of our previous shots about the tension between companies and community, and have thought, we don't like the influence that companies have over projects, so instead of that, I'd like to take my free software project and I'd like to be able to be paid to work on it. How can we make this happen? And obviously you mentioned sponsorship as one of the main ways, and by sponsorship here you're talking about a company basically retaining you as an employee to work on your project. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, so I think, you know, donations and sponsorship are two areas where a lot of people talk about it. I mean, you know, using the example of Paul, you know, he takes donations on his website with PayPal, I think it is. And this is basically a group of people who are really passionate about Ardour, and he works on it full time. And he's a phenomenal developer. Really nice guy is Paul Davis. Phenomenal developer. And Ardour arguably is the best solution for open source multi-tracking on Linux. And arguably, continuing the arguably theme, that's because he works in it full time. So he's got a lot more hacking time on it. There are other people who work on Ardour, but they don't work in it full time. So I think that software will, I don't think anyone would disagree that software can progress much faster when you've got full time people working on it. But the donations thing has been successful in Ardour, but it hasn't been particularly successful in other parts, other projects. So sponsorship, you know, where Intel sponsors someone to work on something, or, you know, for example, Trolltech sponsor Aaron Saigo to work on KDE. That's another approach, but I don't know. I mean, which of these approaches is most successful?
Realistically, though, sponsorship is not open to most projects. It's fine where, Trolltech sponsor Aaron Saigo to work on KDE. But essentially, what they're doing is they're employing Aaron Saigo, and then KDE is the project that he works on as his job. You may find it's not actually set up like that, but that sort of thing's not really available to someone like Paul Davis for Ardour, because which company is there out there that sees Ardour as a critical part of its business and wants to pay him to work on it?
I actually think that most software projects will have, with the possible exception of some games, will have, and Lollicopter, will have some kind of company who could use some valuable development time on that on that project. Like with Ardour, for example, Ardour shipped with a bunch of pro mixing desks. But one of the things that struck me is that, so, you know, Paul Davis works full-time on Ardour, and Aaron works full-time on KDE, but does it need to be full-time? I mean, what about people getting sponsorship for a month's work? So they could just take a month, maybe they could come to an agreement with their employer so they can take a month off, unpaid leave, and then go and work on a project for a month. Or if they're contractors, they can just spend a month working on a project and it covers their fees. I don't think it necessarily needs to be a full year of work. It could conceivably be, you know, a sponsor saying, all right, we'll give you, you know, X amount of cash to pay for you to work on this project for a month.
Likely they'd want a specific feature in place. I don't know whether Ardour does VST plugins, for example, but imagine that it didn't.
Right. I mean, that's bounties approach, right?
I mean, someone might, they wouldn't just say, oh, we'd like you to work on Ardour and just hack on whatever you want. They like to say, We think it would be useful on our pro mixing desk if Ardor had great support for this mixing desk.
Yeah.
So they'll contract Paul Davis and say, we'll pay you to put that feature in. He then charges them whatever. I mean, essentially what we're talking about there is the fairly standard freelance programmer model. You work on a contract. Yeah. You just try and make sure that all of your contracts are related to the one piece of software that you care about and hope there's enough of a market out there.
Well, there's another couple of options as well. I mean, I thought a really interesting example of this was the Open Rights Group in England. For those of you who don't know who they are, they're basically a kind of the UK equivalent to the Electronic Frontier Foundation. And what they did is they set up a pledge bank thing, which is basically where you say, I pledge that I will pay £5 a month or £8 a month, whatever it is, to fund this work, but I will only pay that when we get 1,000 people who do the same thing. And they managed to get their 1,000 people, and then a bunch of people started, and I'm one of them who pays every month to fund the project. And I think that's a really interesting way of doing it, because you hit critical mass then. And you only need to do that. I mean, conceivably, you only need to do that for a certain number of, you know, most projects would probably curry together, you know, 500 people or 1,000 people. And that could be another good option. So, and that could pay for somebody to work on something for, you know, 10 hours a week, or, you know, full time or whatever.
Yeah, well, but we'd like to raise money, take Jacosha and VST plugins, since we're talking about that kind of thing anyway. You know, you set up a pledge bank thing where it says, I'll pay £5 to get VST plugin support into Jacosha, as long as another 1,000 people do the same. And then you go to the Jacosha developers and say, if you were given £5,000, would that enable one of you to really dedicate some proper time to this?
Yeah,
get it done.
I think one of the challenges here is paperwork. I mean, we experienced this with LogRadio. We didn't want anything to do with any kind of accounting or paperwork. I mean, we basically forced that on Matt Ravel.
We did.
And he deserved it, to be honest with you. But I think tax issues and accounting is something.
That's a solved problem now. There are now half a dozen different organisations, conservancies, they call themselves, which have essentially set themselves up and said, we will take over this kind of thing for you. There's the Software Conservancy. There's the Software Freedom Conservancy, not quite the same thing. The Dojo Project.
Obviously.
The Dojo Project. Dojo is a JavaScript library. They've also set up a software conservancy. And essentially, you go to them with your project and you say, I would like you to handle all the tax and legal stuff and make sure that I don't have any personal liability if the money all goes wrong. And they'll sit there and sort it out for you. And the Software Freedom Conservancy, for example, they've got loads of well-known projects in there. Inkscape and jQuery and Mercurial and Samba and Twisted and Wine. All have their donations and stuff like that handled by the Software Freedom Conservancy. And that's great. They're essentially there to say, you can now take donations and not have to worry.
Yeah, we'll deal with the boring shit, right?
Yeah, and we'll do all the legal, financial rubbish. What I'm not sure about is how much that applies outside the USA. But to be honest with you, if you end up routing all of your donations into dollars, it's probably worth it just for the fact that they handle all the stuff for you.
Well, possibly, with the exchange rate being as screwed as it is.
Well, exactly.
I think that's a good option, because I think a lot of people feel overwhelmed by the complexity around the paperwork. And not only that, but also, you know, time tracking. You know, I don't think a lot of open source projects have got the expertise around managing contractors. And I think that's another issue. Yeah. I think we need some best practice. I'm sure there's some projects out there, and the Shop Jack community can share with us some projects that have consolidated best practice around how you do this. How do you monetize, not monetize, but how do you enable people in your project to work for money that has been that's shown up somehow through donations or sponsorship or whatever else.
You start to run into problems like the Nouveau project had, where people were falling all over themselves to give them money. And they said, we don't want it. If you give us the money, we won't know what to do with it. And it's confusing and strange.
Yeah.
And please don't give us any money.
And the other thing is getting the balance between, you know, I'll never forget the Association for Free Software thing where they, you know, you could get £150 in sponsorship, but you had to fill out a 12-page form or something ridiculous. You want to stay away from that as well.
There's also a couple of other ways of funding your free software project, which are perhaps slightly less palatable, but perhaps slightly more lucrative. One of them is ad support. Quite a lot of Android applications include a thing called AdMob, basically built-in ads in the user interface. And that can be a good way of making some money for your project. The iPhone apps tend to be primarily paid for. Android apps, there's much more of a culture of the app being free and then it being ad supported inside the app. So that's one way you could do it. Nobody's running ads inside their application. The last people I saw do that on the desktop was Opera a long time ago. Yeah.
But that worked out well for them, didn't it?
Well, you know, they're still a viable company, but that's one way you could think about.
Viable. They're still a company.
They're maybe doing okay, Opera.
Maybe
the other thing you could do, potentially, is keep the version on Linux free software and sell the version on Windows and sell the version on the iPhone.
You know
That's an interesting thought. I want to see what you think of that.
On that note, I think we should open that up to the Shot of Jack community. And speaking of which, we are at the very start of the conversation. We've rambled long enough about this topic. So clearly, there are opportunities out there for people to generate some revenue to pay for software to be developed. One thing I just like to say to people is you really can do it, right? Where there's a will, there's a way. If you have a software project, there is a way of finding money. Even though the economy's fucked, there's a lot of money out there that can be gathered to help your project. The question is, how do we do it? And I think we're both looking to the Shot of Jack community to go to shotofjack.org, where you heard this shot, and share your comments there, share your experiences, share your ideas, let us know any documentation or projects that might be able to help with this, and get involved in the conversation.
Send us a note on Twitter or Identica or by email. Just go to shotofjack.org/discuss to find out how.
Yeah, and we'll see you on the next Shot of Jack.